drive away on the freeway, my grandmother was tuned in. I was with my grandma at the time. So I try to, like, distance myself, like you said, from that whole thing. But I can't. Like, it's here every year I turn around, OJ's popping up with something new. And I'm like, dang, bro. But, you know, like Nick was talking about last episode, capitalism is real. And getting profits based off of whatever you can is going to occur in the United States. So I think it was very strategic how they, you know, released it years and years later, passed the Double Jeopardy law, because it looked like he was show enough there, and the glove fit that night. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I was just fascinated. In my head, I thought, who is your team?
Yeah.
Who, they obviously weren't for him. Who allowed you to go on television? There was literally a moment where he, like, scrunched his face up, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. When he was saying, I remember, like, they asked, do you remember that? And he would say, yeah, I remember that very specifically. And I'm like, dude, where are your people?
I think they were just trying to make, you know, they were thinking obviously about dollar signs. Right. They weren't caring about OJ, the person.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was really sad. What was
the book that he released?
If I did it.
Yeah. And I think it goes along with that. When I think about it, I think about it from the perspective, though, of his family. So much of how we develop is based on our experiences. And so
as children, particularly.
As children, for sure. And so I think about the kids and thinking that they lost both parents, you know, with all of these things that have gone on. So, you know, they're definitely in my prayers, and I hope that they have been able to receive the help to be able to process all the things that have happened to them. And I just wish that that part would stop, you know.
At some point, that
needs to stop.
Yeah, what a father's perspective you have, Jeremy.
It's not stopping in America. We're talking about OJ. Right. Ever.
Way to wrap it up. Keep it positive. Yeah, yeah. Way to stay out of triangulation. Yeah. I see what you're doing over there. We're not trying to triangulate. We're just getting some opinions, forming some opinions. Well, I wouldn't say I'm the best, thank you. So speaking of fatherhood, you are a father of?
Yep, I have an 11-year-old daughter and twins that are 9.
Twins.
Yes.
What was that like, raising twins?
Twins are absolutely amazing and absolutely, it's exhausting. A crazy thing at the same time.
that's my thought. Exhausting? I
mean, exhausting. That anybody that's had a singleton, like one kid, you think about, you know, if you're in a situation where you have a partner that's helping you, you know, you get up, you guys maybe take turns in the middle of the night, but at some point you have help. When you have twins, even if you have...
Everybody's exhausted.
For 90 days, the first 90 days, I walked around like a zombie, falling asleep on the freeway. It was no joke. But
no joke.
I absolutely love them, and we're past that. So
you fell asleep on the freeway.
Yeah, you know, basically, your eyes are open.
You're driving. You're not mentally there.
But you're not mentally there, and you'll wake up, and you've gone 8 exits.
Well, we're glad you're still here.
I'm here.
It's rough. I get it. It is rough. The first year is rough. And don't be a mom and be nursing, because you're really like the. It's way beyond those 3 months. I was 2 years in. So shout out to all the moms out there. And the dads doing their thing.
And the aunties
and the uncles who step in when necessary.
I had my nephew for an entire year in my office, came to work with me every day. I had
she
a
sure
crib
did.
In the office.
Wow.
I had breast milk in the refrigerator, heating that up, and then my sister would come during lunch break and, you know, feed the baby.
That's amazing.
And then back to the end till 5 p.m.
Wow. Lacey is a super sister.
I give a shout out to all those super aunties and uncles out there.
She sure did. I forgot you had your nephew in
the
office
village.
For you. It takes a village for sure.
Seriously.
Yeah. What's going on with the Bradley Bunch this week?
The Bradley Bunch is coming off of mom and dad being gone for the weekend. So we went down
partying.
To Portland. We had to take a break. Like Jeremy said, it gets exhausting, right?
They got 3 10-year-olds.
We got 3 10-year-olds, two twins, and then one girl. So... two twin boys. And so we went after our engagement party and went down to Portland and just enjoyed ourselves. Did a little bit of shopping, and grandma had the kids, and we came back and they were like, still on grandma's terms.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were like, we get away with everything. So we had to break that cycle mm-hmm. again and, yeah. you know, just get them Reel back in line a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, all is good. The weather being nice was really good the other day. We all were outside.
Spring is
playing.
Coming, people. It's a trick.
Yeah. We're loving it.
I don't
it.
Care. It's still coming. It was still light when we walked in the building at 7 true. P.M.
Very tonight. True. So,
it's
unbelievable. You know, a few episodes we were talking about the snow. A few episodes back we were talking about the snow. And now
that's Washington for you
we're
people.
We're talking about beautiful sunshine. So,
yeah.
But it's springtime. In Washington, springtime is when people come alive, when the city comes alive after, what, 9 months of rain and dark. So,
what are those beautiful trees over at UW?
The cherry blossoms. There are a few. I see y'all. You got a couple, like a small, tiny section.
We don't have a walkway. We don't have a background for a photo shoot, but we got something.
Yeah.
Well, and I know we ain't talking about fitness yet, but I got to tell, because like I say, I'm Chunky Couture. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not
you
where I was.
You should coin that. Chase.
Yeah,
you
I know. I would start a clothing line.
You
for big guys, Chunky Couture, but. I got convicted when that sun came out. I was like, man, because, you know,
you
if you're chunky, you get exposed when the sun comes out. So I was like, man, I got to get on it.
Isn't that the best motivation when the sun comes out? You're like, okay, summer's around the corner.
Yeah, you can't droop a sweater over it. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
You're going to get exposed.
Unless you want to sweat. And then sweaty and Chunky Couture is not a
that
good
work.
Combination.
Dry no. fit, Chunky right. Couture.
Right, right.
But that's good. Oh, man. I'm going to wait for that brand, and we're going to have a commercial for it here Absolutely. On the podcast. Yeah. Let me tell you something about one of your twin boys. So I went to the engagement party, and I was talking to Mason.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious because, so he was telling me about he and his brother and how they were born. And so I asked him, do you know sign language? Because I consider myself to be somewhat of a sign language aficionado. So I was going to challenge him on the spot, like with some quick ABCs or something. And he was like, no, I don't know sign language, but I do know Spanish and Portuguese.
Yay.
And so I asked him, I was like,
I don't know where I
asked him, what grade are you in? Because I'm like, what school is he attending in the Tacoma area that's teaching him Spanish and Portuguese that young? And so he proceeded to give me a sentence, and it was not Spanish. I'm not sure. It was a compilation of many things that he's heard, but I thought that was hilarious.
Was it so confident.
Was
it a rabble of words?
It was disorganized and confused.
Okay,
I see Jeremy. I see you trying to come on the show and challenge me. All right. But that was hilarious because he was so confident, and it was just a moment where I said to myself, I'm not going to break his confidence. That is Spanish, baby. You go ahead
and
say another sentence to me. He was so happy and so confident. So I thought that was just the cutest memory I had of him. He was hilarious. Meanwhile, Malachi was tripping this week. So you got to see him. He was really happy. Malachi was my date to the engagement party.
I was so happy to see him. Yeah.
He was living his best life. And then daylight savings hit, and he turned into a monster. And I didn't know that. In the past years, I would see, like, memes about parents saying, no one's thinking about parents when they talk about daylight saving. But it got real this year. Like, he was grumpy. And he refused to get in his car seat on Sunday. So he had two birthday parties that he was supposed to be going to, a cousin's and a friend's daughter's. And he just would not get in his car seat. He would stiffen his body. He would slide down to the bottom. It was so frustrating. We tried bargaining, which I know older parents will shame me for that. But we were like, okay, get some French fries later. We'll get some chips. And you know I don't give him junk food like that. Yeah. So, but I wanted him to have fun with his cousins. He has tons of cousins who love him. They get so excited to see him. And it was just so sad.
Malachi be out here kicking it. Malachi, send me a text next time you got a party to go to, man. You can sit in the front seat with me.
But then he was so happy at home. It was almost like he just wanted to stay home.
That's crazy. I wonder what daylight savings does to kids.
Well, what I was also saying before the show is that Nick did some research and found that a huge amount of
heart attacks happen around daylight savings time, and also a huge amount of car accidents. So it's literally a jolt to people's bodies and to their brains when they miss that time and when it's thrown off like that. So your nieces and nephews experience that, Lacey?
Oh, daylight savings?
Daylight savings time.
They're crazy. Like that every day. Oh, what day it is.
I can't wait until Shaylon comes on the show because his son. So Lacey's brother has a 10-year-old.
Yeah, 11-year-old.
Who is a character, like, I mean, needs his own YouTube channel character. And I told him
I told Auntie needs to make some money. Let's start your YouTube channel. You know, kids be making so much money.
They do. And he has personality. Yeah, he has, like, charisma, which he follows after his dad. But I could not believe the like, charisma and personality that he had at 11. I'm like, this is a monster. He truly has absorbed from his father. And Lacey pulled out some money to pay for lunch, and he was like, "Ooh, Auntie, you got a $100 bill? Let me get that." And I was like, "Where did he learn this at?" He was hilarious.
That's what's up.
So,
not YouTube.
Go ahead.
I'll subscribe.
Yeah.
I'm telling them, they don't want a YouTube channel, though. I said, do you know how much money you can make? They think candy is worth more than money still. So right. I have to teach them that money can buy you candy.
Yeah.
All the candy you want.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
It can buy you candy. Sure can buy you love.
It can buy you some temporary love. Temporary satisfaction.
It can give you some temporary affirmation. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, affirmation.
Well, since Jeremy's out here correcting and teaching... Tell us a little bit about Face Consulting Group.
Yes, well, Face Consulting Group is a culture and performance company, and we help people see themselves clearly, see others correctly, and move forward together. And so basically, we help everybody get on the same page. I mean, you'll work at a place, and you've got leaders wanting to go in one direction, and the rest of the team wanting to go in the other, or, you know, issues with diversity and inclusion, issues with succession planning, and at the root of it, it comes down to individuals and their beliefs about who they are and how they either connect or collaborate with the person next to them. I don't believe anything great happens alone, and so it's real important work, and I love doing it.
For sure. Do you ever get any pushback? So you said helping people see themselves correctly. Do you ever get any pushback from someone saying, how do you know what's correct for me?
Yeah, clearly. But yes, absolutely. I get pushback all the time. And part of it is because there's so many people that are walking around wounded. And instead of, you know, when you think about an injury, right, let's say you physically get injured, you will compensate the body for the pain, right? So you may not walk straight, you know, you may have a hobble, something like that. And, you know, when someone maybe approaches you about it, instead of saying, hey, I need help, you get defensive. Well, the same thing happens with emotional wounds, right? But when it comes to how we overcompensate, it looks like not trusting people. Mm-hmm. It looks like putting other people in their place. It looks like being defensive, not forgiving. And that has an impact. These invisible things have an impact on the way that we process our reality and move towards our purpose. And so my goal is to help people restore what's been taken away.
I agree with all of that. I was telling Bradley, so I co-facilitated an emotional intelligence training this weekend for the College Success Foundation. And we talk about how you were talking about people respond with defensiveness and they respond with resentment. So we talk about this concept called the pinch theory, where, you know, if you get pinched, it's annoying and, you know, it's something you don't want to happen again. But if it keeps happening, something's going to rise up in you. And so it's kind of like mosquito bites. You get one or two, you're all right. But if your body is covered in mosquito bites, you're upset. You're probably irritable. So the pinches are any of those little things that happen in the workplace from day to day. You know, somebody rolls their eyes at you.
Right.
Okay, you're going to receive that in a certain way. But they might not have even been thinking about you. They may have been thinking about something that happened earlier or last week. But you have to address it and, you know, take the 30 seconds and say, hey, I noticed, I thought I perceived you to be rolling your eyes at me. I just wanted to check in and find out if we were on the same page, if there's an issue. But it's totally worth it. It's like, the CEO at Treehouse used to compare it to flossing. So it's a preventative measure. You floss every day because you don't want to go to the dentist because right. you don't want a root canal. Right. It's the same thing. You have to do that in order to maintain a healthy relationship. And mm-hmm. I think that's critical.
Absolutely. And another thing that happens is, so the way the mind works is you only have a certain amount of bandwidth to make decisions every day. So you're always going to be mentally and emotionally focused on something. And then you have bandwidth. And then that bandwidth gets taken by things like conflict, hurt, like you said, things that we would say are the pinches. Mm-hmm. And the issue is if you don't process those things like a computer, you'll start to open up all these windows. And some people have had windows open for years, 10, 15, 20 yeah. years, and then they can't process things in the moment. And so, you know, part of what my company does is help people close down those windows so that, you know, you get to a place where somebody rolling their eyes doesn't even offend you. Right. It's like, good. Why do I feel like I even need to respond? You know, so you when you have a greater sense of self, you're going to have a better time working with others.
That's sure. a lot of work.
Oh,
that's a lot of work. Trenches. You can't do that in an hour.
No. I'm taking grenades all day. I am in the trenches, but yeah. you know, here's what I would say for anybody. It doesn't have to be around mental and emotional focus, but I just believe when you have a dream, you know, there's a thin line between comfort and regret. Yeah. And so if you really want to move towards your calling and do what you're supposed to do, you're going to get your teeth kicked in. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be like, at least I went for
tried,
it.
Yes.
At least I tried. At least I had a life where I exercised my gift and I didn't just sit back being all angry and regretful and taking mm-hmm. it out on everybody else because yeah. I'm not doing what I was built to do.
Yeah, it actually feels good. Like, it's a good kind of pain mm-hmm. when they're throwing those stones at you all day because mm-hmm. they're throwing stones in the midst of you pursuing your passion, doing Absolutely. Something that you love to do. But yeah, the guy who I co-facilitated with did a week of, they do these trainings called Tough Stuff where they do just that, just what you're talking mm-hmm. about with organizations and kind of get to the nitty gritty of what's mm-hmm. going on. And they do this family of origin work where they talk about, you know, where people come from and their relationship with authority, with their parents and how that relates to their relationship with their boss. Mm-hmm. But he was so exhausted. Friday, we were supposed to do a dry run, and he was like, can we just do a phone call? Like, this week was rough. And I get it. It's hard work, especially, you know, you think about your own complexities and then think about, you know, 29 other people yeah. in the room with yeah. their own complexities yeah. and trying to bring that all together. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tough
hats
stuff.
Hats off to you.
It's not fun. I did the tough stuff training.
I used to love it.
They make you talk about your feelings a lot.
Uh-huh. And you have to be vulnerable.
Right. And, you know, you talked about putting stuff off to the side and having windows open for a long period of time.
I think, at least for myself, I'll speak for myself, was because I wasn't tapping into my feelings and saying mm-hmm. how I feel about right. whatever situation may have occurred between me and somebody or whatever. I would just, you know, bottle things up and move on and do what I got to do rather than going, hey, man, that made me feel like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever happened that you said, like, really made me feel bad. And that part is huge. When I left that, I was like, communication is real. And I can't just put stuff to the side. I need to take those 3 minutes and go, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Well, and it's a cultural thing. I mean, especially in a lot of communities of color, especially as a man, you are taught and brought up not to feel that in explaining or articulating that something is hurting you is a sign of weakness when actually it's quite the contrary. It's a sign of immense strength mm-hmm. that you can admit that, you know what, this hurt me. And I don't want this to happen again. I want to protect myself from getting to a space where I get out of control. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, being aware of our feelings has to be something that needs to be, you know, on the table.
Yeah,
for
no,
sure.
I felt great after mm-hmm. after I talked about my feelings. I was like, damn, this feels good.
It's a whole new practice, but you're right. It is mm-hmm. difficult to get everyone on the same page because, yeah, you got to get everyone on the same page. Right. So if people are comfortable being passive and they're like, oh, this way, I actually don't have to deal with that. So
yeah.
let's keep doing this for a year. That's uncomfortable for people. And something that's encouraged in the workshops that we did was get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's okay. It's all right to be uncomfortable because that's when you're learning mm-hmm. the most, either about yourself or about other people. Mm-hmm. But kudos to you for the work that you're doing in the community. I deal
with the people with the rabble of emotions.
Right. We are the day. Deli Doe, we need a bell.
Hey, number two. I'm going to try to get five before the end of the day.
All right.
Yeah.
Goals. If you don't state it, it won't happen. Way to claim it. Okay, so Lacey, tell us a little bit about what you do at the service board.
Oh my gosh, the service board. So I've been with the service board for about 5 months now. Love it. So we do what you do, but we do it with youth.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's about helping youth and mentoring youth to conquer their personal challenges or cultural challenges, and we do it through a curriculum of, you know, social justice, environmental justice workshops, and snowboarding is like the hook for our youth. So we take our youth snowboarding on the weekends. We do snowboarding and community service projects, which is cool because it's just cool already going to the mountain with a bus full of youth of color out there on the slopes, but just to have a community around you and no judgment. Our motto is push your growing edge. So we talk a lot about not completely stepping out of your comfort zone, but just slowly, you know, push it a little bit more to where you feel comfortable and knowing that there's other people around you that want to support you. We do a lot around identity. We do a lot. So our youth are from all over Seattle, and we're moving more south. But we've been around for about 23 years.
And man, so that's you awesome. Mentioned cultural challenges. Was getting kids of color to go snowboarding a cultural challenge?
I bet it was.
It was for me, okay? I never snowboarded, and the reason why is because it's cold outside. I like being cold, and I'm afraid of heights. And plus, nobody I knew around me went snowboarding.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, I played basketball and soccer and other sports. So
And tennis.
I would say I'm a C-level person. So I think the snowboarding thing is just giving youth access to things they normally don't have access to. Mm-hmm. So we call it kind of a gateway sport because then our youth say, oh, I want to do more hiking. I want to do surfing. I want to do skateboarding. Mm-hmm. So like the whole service board part of it doesn't just mean snowboarding.
Opens
it up. And then again, they learn about the environment. They learn we are actually part of this environment. Sometimes when you're here in Seattle, you can see the mountains, but you never like leave outside of Bellevue.
Right.
So it's like, oh, that's so far away from me. But it's great to have youth being able to go up there sometimes for the first time. Some of them have been up there before and just scared again to try it. And then they try it again and it's all good. And then we have mentors, too, adults who have never snowboarded or done anything like this. So
that's so exciting. How was your first time going snowboarding?
Oh, my goodness.
I know you're a little bit nervous.
I was so nervous.
The week before.
Yeah, and my first time was good, and I got excited. I was like, oh, I'm going to go back up here and do it again. My second lesson, I was just talking to somebody and fell backwards on my tailbone. I couldn't sit down for
but
a whole
But you got
month.
Back up, didn't you?
I got back up.
All right.
And I think that's pretty, though, to so many other things that I'm doing. Like, I'm afraid of flying. I went to Guatemala in January and did a whole, like, leadership trip. So I think, you know, it's not just it affects adults and our youth, but it's really gets us to want to do something else that we normally wouldn't have done before.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard you use a lot more stepping out of my comfort zone language. And you gotta model for those kids.
Yeah, I mean, like,
model what you're asking.
How can you be like lean organization? The kids are like, oh, you only go some. No, I don't snowboard. I don't do that. No, that's scary. So
yeah.
I have to try it.
For sure. Well, thank you guys for sharing and kind of plugging your organizations. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be... All right, so we are back. Episode 7, Talk of the Town. We're here with Lacey West, the Executive Director of the Service Board, and Jeremy Rubin, the Chief Inspirational Officer of Face Consulting Group. You do.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't say that in a unmotivated way. Did you come up with that title?
I did.
That is so creative. I went on the website looking for CEO, founder, and I was like, this?
Right.
I love this.
Even though on LinkedIn.
So different.
It says CIO, so most people think that's Chief Information Officer. So I get hit up all the time. I'm like, I know nothing that.
But you do know something about.
But I can organize.
I can help you get
yeah, and you can cut me the check.
I can help you get to the point.
Exactly.
So we have a question of the day today. So in light of, so we weave in a little pop culture here. Mm-hmm. I know you tried to avoid gossip earlier.
I got you.
So Usher and his wife recently separated, his wife of like 2 years, maybe three. It begged the question, what would you do if you were dating someone, if you were really feeling someone, if you were married to them, and you found out that they had an STD? Lacey, you look like you have something to say. Do you have a thought?
I mean, I feel like they should have told you that in the beginning.
I agree.
Like the rule now? Like
now?
I mean,
no, I guess.
I mean, maybe. With everything else, like I feel like some things just need to be said up front.
I agree. I'm not in disagreement with you at all. I think you should bear all before you. You know, maybe not once you enter a relationship, maybe, you know, take some steps then. But definitely if you're married to someone, that's non-negotiable. And I actually think it's really selfish if that person who, you know, has STD does not disclose that. Because you never know.
I have a question, though. Is it they had an STD or they still have an STD?
No, currently.
Okay.
So this is what happened with Usher. His wife had to hear about all of this. And I don't know that that's the reason why they got divorced. I'm not starting rumors. But I just put myself in her position. I was like, what could that have felt like? It had to be a lot to endure. And I know we know of some, like, you know, famous wives who have endured more. Probably depends on the price that they have to pay.
Is it giving her like a big giant diamond ring? Like an upgrade? Like some people did?
No names.
I think it just depends.
We'll not talk about Kobe in a bad way.
That's why
we got a number one fan. Number one fan in the building.
Yeah. I mean, I think with a lot of things, you know, you have to be open and honest. Anytime that you're bringing something into a relationship that could be perceived as baggage.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I think that it's a whole nother story if something happens after we are in relationship, then we're talking a whole nother conversation. So,
yeah.
One of the things I have learned from coaching people, though, and being privy to information is one thing I try never to do is take a side. And the reason I don't take a side is because in most cases, we don't have enough information to actually formulate an opinion. We're just given what we're given, and then we run with it. So just kind of being responsible with information. So.
Definitely. Based off of what I was given, if I
the information I'm
out. Yo, I gotta go. Yeah. If it occurred while we were together, that means you were out there cheating on me and getting STDs in the process, which means you weren't protecting yourself. Not only cheating on me, but also not even protecting yourself. And so, I mean, I'm looking for my first. That is my first out, really. I mean, I wouldn't even need you to mess up and not do a dish or something, or, you know, find an excuse to leave. That's written in the contract as soon as we sign up and go, I'm going to get married to you.
Like, wait, did you say not do a dish?
You know, like, you're trying to find an excuse to leave.
It's National Women's Month.
I mean, like, Bradley? In the sense of trying to find something to argue about, to leave a relationship.
I got you.
You know what I mean? So.
But I mean, so they were married for 2 or 3 years.
So I'm gone, because that means they didn't have it. Did they not have sex?
Or it could mean that he had it before they got married.
That's what I'm saying.
And
it could have been before.
Didn't disclose it.
So based off of the information that I'm giving, my opinion is that if he did have it, he should have told her, right? From the jump. And if she known, then to get married and be like, okay, now everybody knows, so I'm leaving, that marriage wasn't very strong. it could have been whatever people get into marriages for sometimes nowadays yeah. that aren't, you know, as conventional as they used to be.
Right.
So that could have been an issue based off of the information that we have. But
I like how you're staying safe there.
There's a lot of rabble to this conversation with my thoughts.
Jeremy, what do you rate that?
What do you rate that? You can rate your host, your co-host.
You're really safe with that. I like that.
The information that I have is a rabble right now. So my opinions are being formulated based off of.
Okay, Bradley.
You know,
I'll give you.
I gotta go. If you came to me and said, "Hey, I got an STD all of a sudden, and we're married," I'm like, yo.
Well, here's what I will say about this whole idea of having to go. It's interesting that, and we all do this, we're on the sideline, we get information, we say, if that was me, this is what I do.
Yeah, sure.
But when you're in the mix, when you have feelings that are involved, you know, like one of the things that propelled me towards my work was the fact that I was in a toxic relationship for over a decade.
Hmm.
Tons of craziness happened. That if I told you, you probably wouldn't even believe me. But what I realized, and I would smile, that same smile that you talked about, I learned how to manufacture that.
Yeah.
But I'm dying on the inside. And so it's interesting at how people respond to hurt. It's interesting how people, especially the person you loved enough to let your guard down, right?
Right.
But I think that where the grace is I think that we all make mistakes. There's grace for that, but if someone's a habitual offender,
right.
And is this is what I really want people to understand, that it's not about that person. They're being who they are. It's my responsibility to love myself enough to make a healthy choice. And in most cases, when we don't, like when I didn't make my healthy choice when I should have, it was because I was with someone who saw me at the level that I saw myself. And I had to get to that place. You know, when
someone wanted better and more.
Yeah. You got on page with yourself.
Yeah.
You were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You found yourself and you like now you're spreading it to everybody.
Yeah, Now it's time to go free the captives. Yeah. I can't be free and then just, you know, you experience the freedom and I know how long it takes too. It's not an overnight deal.
Yeah.
But now it's helping other folks.
Jeremy and Lacey are like awesome. Doing the work.
You
gotta do it. You know?
Doing the work.
She said, "I'm jumping out on the snowboards too." Jeremy said, "I was
absolutely
not one with myself, and now I am." And they're doing it, man. That's huge.
You just have to declare
kudos
what you want in your life and
sure.
go for it, for sure. I mean, I only surround myself by the best.
Yeah.
I think that's critical. I'm not being funny.
Yeah.
I think
you
give your energy in your life to people who nourish you and who help you grow and who encourage you. And I think that's all you have space for.
Yep.
That's all I have space for. I got a 2-year-old and a husband and a job.
Yeah.
Multiple things. So.
I mean, you know, that's the key. He says surround yourself with the greats, so. I mean,
for sure.
You're doing yourself justice when you do.
But you'd be surprised how many people don't. Like
right.
I talk about in my workbook, our relationships have a direct impact on our identity and our capacity to succeed. And so for most people, the reason why they're not experiencing the growth that they need to is because of whatever reason they feel, they're holding on to relationships that are holding them stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not just romantic. I'm talking about
friendships.
Family.
Yes.
I'm talking about friends. A lot of times it's the closest people that look at you and say, you know what, this is the route you need to take, and will actually ostracize you or make you feel small for wanting to do something big.
Yeah.
And so it's just not even accepting that. You got to cut some people sometimes.
Yeah.
Literally,
I'm
out.
Cut, change your number, start fresh,
right.
Unfollow, delete,
block them.
Whatever you got to do to clear that space in your life.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But yeah, I appreciate, Jeremy, that you are giving grace to both sides of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, you have to be neutral when you're standing on the sidelines. And that's what I was getting at when I said, what if they have been married for 2 to 3 years before she found out? Because, yeah, you love that person.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously said you wanted to spend your life with that person. Some people, to magic, are like, I said I was going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to do this together. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on the circumstances, but I hear what you were saying. If If it came out of nowhere, that's a concern. Yeah. Right. That is a concern, and it's a valid concern.
You
were
lying when you said to God forever. Like,
right. And people do that. People tell lies at the altar. Yeah.
But it's interesting that you say that. I really feel like there's a real attack even on marriage as an institution at all. Like, you're getting a lot of people that are saying, like, why? Like, you know, so quick to be like, do you? And it's like, be careful of who you take counsel from, because some of the bitter, most unrelationship equipped people will try to move you in a direction where they have more of your time, and it's selfish when they should be propelling you towards your spouse and towards, you know, restoration, depending on what the situation is. Now, there's some situations, like I said, in mine, I needed to go. Yeah. But there are some situations where, look, you're just being lazy. Like, for me, I'm like, I don't have a girlfriend. I'm dating, because that means that I'm being intentional. Sometimes we get these titles and we're no longer intentional, right? Mm-hmm. We just rest on our laurels. We're not intentional about, you know, dating and getting to know and having relationships. So just be careful of who you take advice from.
For sure. Nice. And I'm assuming, you don't have to confirm or deny, that the person you're in a relationship is also the mother of your children. Here's where I'm going with this. I'm wondering about the co-parenting relationship. Are you able to co-parent effectively?
Yes, it is. The one that I did leave is the mother of my children. So I have great boundaries, right? So
protect yourself.
To protect yourself. Because a lot of people think that they're ready to just do it with the person and make it happen. And next thing you know, you're frustrated and you're talking, you know, you're bringing all this nastiness up because neither one of you are ready. And so for me, it's to support the kids. They'll never hear me talk negative about their mother.
Priority. Because,
here's something for you guys. Because there's tons of blended families nowadays. There's tons of people that are coming together, ready-made families, blended families. Do not talk smack, regardless of what happened, about the other person.
Because you're teaching them. You're teaching your kids.
Not only are you teaching the kids, but half of them is that person.
Right.
They are
half of their identity.
Right, half of their identity, that person. Yeah. So they don't see it as, you know, your mom's crazy. They see it, you're saying I'm crazy, because I come from that, you know. So, but yeah, co-parenting is very important. I have great boundaries. I have a great relationship with my kids, and I make sure that I'm just a present father. I think that's the thing.
That's important.
Be present. Sure.
Yeah.
They're the priority.
Absolutely.
So you talked a little bit about identity before the show, and I wanted to hear a little bit more about that. So you talked about the difference between someone's identity and how they're identified.
Absolutely. So I'll talk about superheroes for an instant. Let me just ask you guys, why do you believe that we love superheroes? Why are people so fascinated with them?
I'm not
a good person.
I didn't see, but I didn't. And I mean, even before,
I mean,
what, you didn't see Black Panther?
I know, it's for the culture. Listen, be on the Well, basically, if you're on any social media, you feel like you've seen the whole movie, anyways.
Yeah, that's
everyone
true.
Everyone posted about it for 4
because
weeks.
It grossed $1 billion. Right. So you should see it.
Obviously, they don't need me. They're good.
I'm cheering on.
For
they need your perspective, though. Yeah. That's important.
I don't think they do. People, the consensus is in. It's a great film for the culture. Here's the thing. I grew up as an only child, and action films are too much stimuli for me. It's like a kick and a punch, and then it's like loud music.
Rabble of activity.
Okay, Jeremy, just stop it. Carry on with what you were saying about action.
So what I'm saying is, contrary to popular belief, the reason why we love superheroes is they're just as dysfunctional as us, and they get away with it.
Mm.
So when you think about it, you know, Batman watched both of his parents get killed in front of him.
Yeah.
Not one therapy session. Right? Mm. Craziness. But decides to go and fight all these people, right? They put on the mask.
Make things right.
Superman was the first superhero in the foster care system. His whole planet got blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, when he finally got power, instead of saving his uncle, he went and took the prideful route and went after that guy. You remember that scene? And so What they do is they put on the mask. Because if I put on the mask, you can identify me, right? But you don't. I don't have to deal with the stuff underneath the mask. Mm-hmm. And so we do that all the time where mm-hmm. we'll go get more degrees. We'll go get the right husband. We'll make sure he gives us the right ring. We'll make sure we have the right Jordans on or whatever the case may be, right? Let me make sure you identify me and I'm hiding what's really going on underneath the surface. Yeah, so my job is to navigate all that BS and get to actually who you are, which at the foundation is things at the foundation, it's your ability to love yourself, it's beliefs, it's agreements, and it is your ability to forgive things that have happened in the past. There's other things to it, but your identity is so, it's so much more of who you are than how you look and what you can portray, because that's manufactured.
For sure. Absolutely. And that leads into, you wrote a book, right?
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about your book. Is it out? Is it on Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so say a little bit about it.
And that's what's interesting, too. So I wrote a book called Have Faith, I'll Wait on You. And it's on Amazon, on Kindle, and I actually use that story to set up adult learning in the industry that I'm in, and I talk about the three things that we're here to do and the five things that distract us using this fictional story. But it's, again, we go back to dreams. I remember shelving the project because when I was going through the things that I was going through in this very toxic relationship, I felt, how can I go out and help anybody or develop anybody or do anything worthy when I'm in this situation? I think there's so many people that are probably listening that believe that their dream is disqualified because of the reality that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And I would just say to you that that's not the truth, that that's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. And just to keep pushing towards what you've been given, what you've been designed to do.
Yeah. Testify. I got a testimony. I mean, I told you I waited a decade to, you know, do what I wanted to do and fulfill my dream. But as long as you keep pursuing it, as long as you still feel that fire in your belly, go for it.
Absolutely.
Have faith, I'll wait on you.
Have faith, I'll wait on you.
Just a mustard seed.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Lacey, what do you think about the identity versus how you're identified?
I mean, we talk about this all the time in program, and that's why we first start off with gender pronouns. Because when people look at you, they're like, oh, he's a man. He's a man. So they've already identified who you are. Mm-hmm. And so we make sure that our youth and our mentors, everybody, can identify themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to get you have your identity and have people respect that about you. And then surround yourself with the communities, like you said, you have to put people in your life that are kind of on the same wavelength as you. And so they're there to support you so you can do the things that you want to do in your life.
Yeah.
So everything.
Lacey, are you dating?
I'm trying.
Okay. Just so you know, this is a podcast. It's going to get out.
Well, so.
I know. Let's try to remain anonymous.
Can I have an alias? Can I do this? Because I don't want to talk about my life. She was like, you don't need to come on the show.
I was going to honor it. I came up with some alias.
Oh, you did?
I had some names.
But then I thought, you know, I need to promote, too, the work that I do. That's important. Yeah. Especially if there are people out there listening that could be a part of the service for it. Because that's what we do for youth. But, I'm trying. That was, like, one of my 2018 goals. Because I figured out, and I had to go to a retreat to figure this out about myself. I have commitment phobia. So.
A retreat in another country.
In a whole other country to figure out what my problems are. But, so, I told myself I'm going to try and get out there and actually just start dating and actually make that kind of a priority in my life. Because my priorities have always been family and work.
Yep.
That's all I do. And
to rearrange some stuff.
Yeah. And my dog. I forgot about my dog, Boogie. I love that little chihuahua.
Lacey has the craziest dog. I think
he's bipolar.
Think he eats Molly's at night. He is crazy.
definitely bipolar. But I think that's important to realize that, you know.
Do you have your list of, like, priorities of what you want in a mate?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in enough relationships to know, like, what I want and what I don't want.
Yeah.
And so I've been self-sabotaging myself in these relationships, so I'm learning not to do that and to really stick true to what I think a partner, what type of partner I need in my life.
Growth.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, there are billions, literally billions of people in the world. So you can afford to be selfish. You can afford to wait on the right person. And just my thing is, be the person that you want to be with. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, really to attract, if you know, like, if you want to attract someone who is mentally and emotionally healthy, do the work. Be mentally and emotionally healthy, you know?
And like you said, you got to work on yourself first. So yeah, I found a lot of things about myself, and that's how I know I'm ready to give myself to somebody else, because I know myself very well.
That's so good.
That's what's up. Peace. If you go back to last week's episodes of Kings and Queens, you would hear that I found Alicia doing what I love. I was at work, and we just ran into each other. So, you know, like you said, the self-care and love and doing what you love, that person will come right into your life without even expecting
Riley had
it.
A personal home gym and all that. Sweat bag. Went vegetarian.
Yeah.
I firmly believe in that. I've said that before. I think once you get to a place where you're happy with yourself, where you love yourself wholly, then that is when you open yourself to receive that love.
Yeah. Well, in most relationships, you know, in my studies, all my stuff is based in social-emotional learning theory, cognitive behavioral science. And when relationships really fascinate me, most of the time when we make bad decisions about relationships, it's because we're lonely. And so we try to speed up the process. Yep. And a lot of times it's because of uncovered agreement. So I'll give you an example of agreement. When I've struggled up and down with my weight my whole life. And like I said, I'm chunky couture, right? But I remember being in sixth grade and just being super overweight. And I remember that was just about the time where people were expressing themselves through hugs. Mm. It was all year and I ain't got one hug. And I remember being behind this girl who I just absolutely loved. She was in front of a vending machine and she means to hit E10, but she hits E10. So E1 comes down and she gets this candy bar. She's totally disappointed. I'm like, I can help. So I put my money in. I hit E10. We exchange candy bars and she gives me a hug.
Game.
Now, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. What seems like an awesome story actually began probably one of the most unhealthy agreements in my life. Because I believe that in order for me to get love, I had to give something. At that age, I thought, it carried out, right? Like, me alone wasn't enough. And so I would look to give inappropriately. And when you look to give inappropriately, you're going to attract people that want to take inappropriately. Yeah. And so my thing is, here's the thing.
That's good.
If you're lonely, fix that. Yeah. Right? First.
And figure out why.
And figure out what is going on. And if you just do that work, you will save yourself so much time.
Oh,
and
you'll
find someone you can partner
Auntie
with.
Auntie Ayana.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good word. Speaking of being mentally and physically healthy, what did you have going on for health and fitness? I know you were in Portland this weekend, Bradley.
Yeah, so I tracked my steps.
Did you all take a walk?
We did. Okay. After we left the hotel, we went on this nice walk down by the river. Got some beautiful pictures. It was awesome. But we actually walked all throughout the mall as well, and I tracked like 3 miles.
Did you take your New Balances from the mall walk? I joke with him. I told him if he's walking in the mall for exercise, he has to have a pair of white or gray New Balances.
So it's funny you say that because I was attracted to some old man shoes more than the Balenciagas that we saw, and I was like, yeah.
But New Balance has some dope new styles, though.
And I can't spend $850 on a pair of shoes either. Yeah. So yeah.
There you go.
But I should have had on the New Balances because my legs were hurting this week.
You gotta treat your feet well, man.
Yes. I tell people, stretch
your feet can carry you.
Did you know we ain't no spring chickens no more?
I didn't realize.
I'm joking.
I got sore getting up.
No, but I also went to the Y and did some working out, and was thinking about checking out the yoga class. There's actually one of my coworkers from Treehouse teaches yoga, Erica Chang, and she's awesome. Oh, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to stretch before that, or you will experience a rabble of pain throughout your body.
Come on,
Jerry. He's trying to find. I don't think that's the right way to use that.
Deli, I hope we got a prize because he's out here showing out.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got your exercise in.
Good,
and treat your feet well, man. I tell people all the time, your feet carry you for your whole life.
That's true.
That's so long.
While we were down in Portland, also, shout out to my cousin who has his own restaurant down there called Derby Monsters. Oh. Donnie Wallace treated us with the best service.
I'm curious.
All kinds of great food. Like, he does a lot of home cooked stuff. Best vegetarian burger I've had in my life, and I've been vegetarian for 14, 15 months now. And that was the best one I've ever had.
So
ever.
Where's this restaurant there located? Can we get to Portland?
Yeah, it's over next to the convention center. About three, four blocks away.
There be monsters.
There be monsters.
And you know that Portland's a food capital. Yes. So if it's good down there, it's good.
It's amazing. Yeah. He's been there for about 6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it was awesome because we left one restaurant and the service was terrible. And I went to my cousin's and I was like, hey, to the bartender, tell my cousin I'm here. And he came out and just gave us the royal treatment.
Well, why'd you try another restaurant? What kind of
No, we went there first. Well, Derby Monsters doesn't open until 4 p.m. That's why.
That was a great answer. Great answer.
Keep it safe.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm headed to Portland in a few weeks, so I'm going to check that out for sure.
For sure.
Jeremy, you have mentioned your, what is it, Cushy Couture?
Chunky Couture.
Chunky Couture a few times. Yeah. What are you doing for self-care?
So for self-care, I'm doing a couple things. Definitely taking in more water.
Okay.
Definitely.
Which is a huge part. Yeah. People don't realize how much
water. On and off at the gym. So, you know, I'll get on it for, you know, 2 weeks, be off for a week, 2 months, be off for 5 months. But I finally just said, I think my issue is I want to speed up the results instead of falling in love with the process.
But here's the thing.
Right. I'm going to be truthful, right? Because nobody's perfect in every area of their life. That's an area that I just need to be better about, more intentional about. And I think another thing as far as self-care is concerned is I journal.
Okay.
What's going through my mind? Like, what is your thought life about? I mean, because I think that, that at the root of some of these behaviors is what's going on. Yeah, what's your thought life?
It's my first time hearing that.
Yeah. No, and it's not mine.
Okay.
That is not an original. All right. I'm not into taking other people's stuff. Now, I don't know whose it is. Okay. I just know it's not mine.
Whoever's out there, let us know.
Yeah.
But I do like that term.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, Lacey, we know you're out here on the tennis courts running Lacey's fit,
y'all. Y'all can't see. I can see. Okay, Lacey is
fit. If you see Lacey, you would think she's a spring chicken. Yeah, she looks like a spring chicken.
Track star, all that. 4x1.
We know you're snowboarding.
I can't run. I need something going on. I always say runners. How do you just run for hours?
I don't know. Music nowadays.
Right. But even the music. Yeah, so, yeah, I need sports. I'm doing something all the time. But, yeah, self-care, I think, is so important. That's another one of my 2018 goals. I've been doing some passion planning. Which is great. Y'all know
that. That sounds good.
Right? Passion Planner. Oh, my. I'm giving a shout out to whoever created Passion Planners, but we got them for our youth, too, and they love it. Our mentors love it.
Can I get one for Christmas?
I need to get you one, but it's great because every day you're doing something and you're writing down what you accomplished, what you need to get done.
I think I've seen these. They have, five lines for every day.
Every day.
Like
and
a goal, which... Like your thought, I've seen
monthly
these.
Goals, yeah. daily one goals. There's quotes in there, and how you living out that quote. But anyways, sorry, I didn't even put a plug in for passion planning. But
.com.
I know .com. $25, but the best $25 you invest in the year.
Yeah.
I'm all about investing things that are worth it.
It's definitely worth it. I just would not just put it out there, but that's been good because I think. Emotionally, like I do a lot of physical things, but I just don't take time to sit and like meditate. So I tell everyone take 15 minutes out of your day just to meditate, no distractions, nothing. And I start my tennis season next month. I'm excited. So
out here running these courts,
Wimbledon
tennis pro.
See, essence be blow me up. Like this is really. I mean, anytime you do something, Serena's like the same age as me too.
A long period of time. Anytime you're practicing it, you have to get good.
Yeah,
you might not be the best, but you're at least good.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, I'm good enough to teach. And get paid to teach. So, yes, definitely.
Say
that.
Snap.
Everyone needs a side hustle, right?
Or a few. Never settle with one stream of income.
Very true.
All right. Bradley, you got some bits of positivity so we can wrap this night up.
You know I got some bits of positivity.
I don't want to, but...
If you
want
to go back to episode 6 and 5, you'll see the first 10 of the 30. And this is the last of the 30. So, from 21, choose faith over fear. That goes a lot with your book, man.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like that. That's 21. 22, make the most of now. 23, exercise self-discipline. 24, look at the bright side. don't choose sides. Not looking at the right side. Yeah. 25, avoid social compromise. 26, see failure as opportunity. 27, don't take opinions to heart. 28, select friends that lift you up.
How appropriate are
you? I was going to interrupt you earlier about you saying that and say, yo, that's number two. Yeah, but for sure, for sure. That's on point. 29, let go of what can't be changed. And 30, have a healthy sleeping pattern.
All things we talked about today. Self-care. Setting yourself up with people who will lift you up. Surround yourself with positivity. All things that we talked about today, actually. Look at that. Look at how things weave together. Well, we're so appreciative that you guys joined us today. We had so much fun.
Thank you
for having us here.
Thank you.
Anyone who needs some consulting expertise, Face Consulting Group, look it up. Look for the Chief Inspirational Officer. I can't even say that without correcting my posture. And if you have youth who want to go snowboarding, who want to be a part of a positive group, who is teaching them to step outside of their comfort zones, the service board is here for you. Check Lacey out. You can go to the website at theserviceboard.org. And for Face Consulting Group, faceconsultinggroup.com. How simple did you make that for people? All right, you guys, have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you in another one.